Okay, we are going to keep going here in the book of Romans. I'd like for you to turn to Romans chapter 3. I want to just go over very briefly some things that we've considered in previous teachings. It was in the opening verses of Romans that the gospel of God regarding Jesus Christ and the justice of God that's revealed from the foundation of believing, or that which is given to be believed, to produce believing is introduced. And that's where we're beginning to see open up as we continue in the book of Romans. In the next section in Romans, it lays out the legal condition of mankind. You have the Gentiles who turned from the Creator to serve the creation. And the Judeans who had the advantage of having been entrusted with the Word of God, but they also rejected God. And the result of all of that was that all come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Then in the next section of Romans, you have introduced, beginning in chapter 3, verse 1, or 21 rather, it starts to reveal that justice of God and that which has been made available to every man by the accomplishments of Jesus Christ. Justified freely without a cause. Any man can be justified by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ because of what he accomplished. See, that God might be just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. It says in that section. I want to pick it up here in verse 28, which begins the next section. And what we're going to see in this section is that we're going to see that Abraham's believing the promise of God, his believing the promises of God, is presented as the foundation and example for all who are justified by believing, on Jesus Christ, who are justified by believing rather than works. Okay? In verse 29 it says, is he, referring to God, the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by believing and the uncircumcision by or through believing. Through that same believing makes no difference. Then verse 31. Do we then make void or render inactive the law through believing? God forbid. Don't even let it be said. Yea, we establish the law. What does that mean? Well, by believing, we establish the law's purpose. The purpose of the law. And this is further detailed out in Galatians chapter 3, which we read previously when we were looking at Romans 1:17. The law pointed out the need for a Christ. The law was our schoolmaster. Until that which is perfect, until that when that believing came, which is Jesus Christ, that which was given to be believed. See? That was the law's purpose, to tutor, to guide, to protect until that promised one, that promised seed would come. Look at Galatians 3:17 through Galatians 4:7, and it's all laid out in some pretty nice detail. See, we establish the law's purpose. We're here. Now, as we get into 4 here, we're going to see that Abraham, well, let's just read it. Word says it better than I do. What shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found. Now, the use of flesh here, context determines how it's used. There are many times where flesh is used regarding the old nature. But here, it's the physical flesh as it relates to circumcision. Okay? It's also used this way in Romans chapter 2. Okay, so it's the physical flesh as it relates to the circumcision, which becomes pretty apparent as we read. So, verse 2. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory or to boast, but not before God. For what says the Scripture? What does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God. And it what? Is believing. Right? Abraham believed God, and it, his believing, was counted or accounted unto him for righteousness. See? Counted unto him for righteousness. This record is in, why don't we read it? Just so that we have it in our heads, because this is going to come up again. All right? Keep your finger here. We're coming right back. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15. Verse 1 says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram. Now, he was still Abram. His name wasn't changed to Abraham by God until much later. And that was at the agreement of the sign of the covenant, which was circumcision. So at this point, Abram is not circumcised. All right, that sign wasn't given. Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, no one, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord. And he, the Lord, counted it, his believing, to him for what? Righteousness. Now, go back to Romans. Verse 4. Now to him that works is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his believing, is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man. This word blessedness is a word that also means happy or happy. You could translate this happy blessings. Really, that's accurate. Even as David also describes the happy blessings of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works. See, David longed for that. He looked forward to that. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute or account sin. Cometh this happy blessing? Same word. Cometh this happy blessing then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that, and it should read, the believing. The article is in the text. For we say that the believing was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. See, when you have that article there, the believing, its significance is that it is that believing which is right, as opposed to all other ways of believing. Do you understand? So it puts the article there for the emphasis. The believing. The believing regarding the Christ. The believing regarding the promise of God. That's what Abraham believed. And that's what was counted unto him for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Well, not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the believing, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. See, the Judeans claimed Abraham as their father. They were of the seed of Abraham. They were the one to whom the promises had been given. They were the ones to whom the Messiah had been promised. They were. And what God is blowing to smithereens here is that the promise was made to Abraham before the law was given, before circumcision ever came to pass, before that was ever given, the promise was given that Abraham, in uncircumcision, might be the father of all who what? Believe. And this word father is used as it's used in other places in the word. It means the beginner or the foundation of a family or the foundation of the first in something. And that's how it's used here. Abraham was the father of believing, the foundation. He believed God, sight unseen, against all senses, that the Christ would come out of his loins, his bowels. And God counted unto him for righteousness, that he might be the father of all. Isn't that something? And that's what God's saying here in Romans. Do you see how that's foundational? This is foundational understanding. Verse 11, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the believing, which he had yet being uncircumcised. The covenant was made when he was uncircumcised. The circumcision was given as a sign of that covenant which had been made before. And then that was to be passed on. So, it was a seal of the righteousness of the believing, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed, accounted unto them also. And the father of circumcision, just as he's the father of believing, he was the first to be circumcised. To them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that believing. Of what believing? Well, the context is the believing. That's the context here. Of that believing of our father Abraham, which he had yet being uncircumcised. This word, steps, it's a word that means to... Or walk, rather, is a word that means to walk or advance in rank in an orderly way. Okay? We walk in the steps of what? Believing. Of that believing. What believing? the believing. See? And it's the believing regarding Christ. See? That's right. We believe on Christ. We confess Christ. And that believing produces believing. Abraham continued, we're going to read it. He continued to believe. He continued to believe. The just shall live by what? By believing. See? For the promise, verse 13, that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham and to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of the believing. 4. If they which are of the law be heirs, the believing is made void. If righteousness come by the law, then the believing that Abraham before the law, before circumcision, is what? There's no point. And the promise of none effect, because the promise was made to Abraham all the way back in Genesis 3:15 regarding the Christ. Because the law worketh or produces what? Wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. The law produces wrath. The law declares men guilty and points out that man's destined for wrath. That's man's destiny. That's what the law points out. Therefore, it is of what? Believing. It's believing. We cannot be saved by law. We can't be. It's not in man. So what the law did was to point out man's helplessness, man's state, man's destiny, man's enmity against God and the things of God and the ways of God and the thinking of God. Therefore, it is of believing that it might be by what? Grace. God's justice. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the believing of Abraham, who is the father of all of us who believe. All of us. As it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations, before or in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as what? As though they were. Who, against hope, believed in hope or upon hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And that was spoken in Genesis 15:5. We read it. Abraham believed that. And being not weak in the believing, he considered, that means he observed clearly. He got it. He observed, the word not is not in the text. He observed his own body. Kind of makes sense. See? He observed his own body dead. That's how it should read. He was past the age of having children. Do you think Abraham was aware of that? When he was about 100 years old. And then it should read, and. The words neither yet should be the word and. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. He knew Sarah was beyond the age of having children. He staggered not at the promise of God through what?
Unbelief.
Through unbelief. See, unbelief, it's so beautiful because what this section does is it's defining believing for us. And it's the acceptance of that information that comes from God. Abraham knew that his body was past age. Abraham knew that Sarah's body was past age. He knew that. And that physically it was impossible for he and Sarah to have a child together. Do you understand? That's what the census told him. Those were the census facts. They were facts. They were just facts. Now, he also had the promise of God. And the promise of God was that you will have seed, it will come from your own bowels, and it will come through Sarah. So you had God's word, and then you had the physical. Then it says, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. He staggered not. The reason he didn't stagger is because the physical facts, the fact that he couldn't have children and the fact that Sarah couldn't have children, were not bigger than what God had said, that you will have a child, it will come from you, and it will come from Sarah. Do you understand? The promise of God remained bigger. It remained more true than what the facts told him. He accepted the information of God over the information of his body. He accepted the information from God over the information from concerning Sarah's body. That it might be by what? Promise. Isn't that beautiful? God knew what he was doing. And he knew that Abraham would believe. Because it had to be by promise. It couldn't be by man. It couldn't be by man. And if Abraham still had the ability to have children, and Sarah still had the ability to have children, it would have been by who? Couldn't be by man. Had to be by promise. See it? And what was so awesome was that in Abraham, God had a man with whom he could do this. Because Abraham would believe. Hence, he's the father of all who believe. He was the first. And when we believe God, and when we accept the information that comes from God over the information of the senses, we're in good company. He staggered not through unbelief, but was strong in the believing regarding Christ. Regarding Christ, the believing. I'm telling you, there's something else here in this record that is really wonderful, really fantastic. Abraham was strong in the believing. It's that believing as opposed to all other ways of believing. It's the believing which God gave to be believed. The believing. It's not that I believe for something. It is not that I believe for whatever. I accept and believe that which God has given me to be believed regarding my Lord Jesus Christ. And that is bigger than what the senses provide. Now, with that understanding, we can talk about believing. And the needs perhaps being in the physical or in the financial, or whatever realm. We believe regarding our Lord Jesus Christ and what he's accomplished for us and who we are in him because we called on his name. You see it? We're strong in the believing. We're in Christ. We're in Christ. We're in Christ. And we're going to see that as we go in Romans. It's going to get more and more delineated. The legality of what's been accomplished. Why? Why you're to think this way? Why do you're to see yourself this way? Why you're to believe this way? That's where we're headed. But we have the example of Abraham. See, and that's what God is laying out here in this section. Isn't it neat just to see the flow? How this flows. It's just wonderful. Anyway. So he staggered not, verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That what he had promised, he was able to perform. If God promises it, he's able to perform it. Because in Titus, again, it says that God who cannot what? Lie. He cannot lie. So if he promises it, he's able to perform it. And therefore, it was imputed. It was counted. That believing, his being fully persuaded, was counted to him for righteousness. We read that in Genesis 3:6. Now, it wasn't written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. Even though it happened all the way back in Genesis, it wasn't written for just his sake, but for us also. To whom it shall be imputed, that righteousness, that justification, shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Isn't it great how God slips the new birth in there? Who was delivered for or because of our offenses, and was raised again, you could read this, when we were justified, or because of our justification. See? And thus ends this section in Romans. And the conclusion here is that all may be justified in the sight of God by believing on Jesus Christ rather than by the works of the law. And all of this is because of the accomplishments of that promised seed, Jesus Christ. Do you see how understanding these foundational truths that are laid out regarding the gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ really end all debate, end all argument regarding law versus grace? See? It becomes so clear, God's justice and how he so lovingly provided a way for man to be justified and righteous before him. And it's not without precedent. So, Father, thanks for your word, and thanks for these great truths from Romans, and just how neat it is and thrilling it is, Father, to see this and what you've done, and just how you carried this out. And that, Father, we reap the benefits of it because of your grace and great love. Thank you for these things. In the name of our Lord, who you've risen from the dead, Jesus Christ. Amen.